We're in the book of Psalms, so turn with me to Psalm 5, book 5, or chapter 5, Psalm number 5, however you want to say it. These Tehillim have been such a blessing to go through them, these Psalms. They're really like prayers, they're really like songs, but there's so much more than that. What we're seeing as we're going through these early Psalms, and the first four, and now going into five, is we see personal connections between man, the created, and God, the creator. So it's amazing, even just with that, that the God who created us, the all-present, omniscient, all-powerful creator that put us together and gave us, breathed life into us, wants a personal relationship with us. And these Psalms are very personal. Book 1, which is what we're in, which is Psalms 1 through 41, are the personal Psalms, and they're mostly, almost without exception, four exceptions to this. The first 41 Psalms are mostly attributed to King David. So David has this personal connection with God, which is what we're going to be exploring today. If you look at Psalm 5, and if you read Psalm 5, it's only a few verses. When you go through it, when we go through it today, I want you to think about the personal connection that God has with David, and therefore, obviously, that God can have with us today. David, when you think about King David, he was a great king, he was a great warrior, he was a great psalmist and musician, but he was a man. He was simply a human being just like any of us, a human being with hopes, aspirations, struggles, and sin in his life. He sinned. We know that. There's no question about that. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 13, you don't have to turn there, 1 Samuel 13, 14, that David was a man after God's own heart. So we know of David's sins. They're well documented in the Bible. But we also know what's documented in the Bible, which is David was a man after God's own heart. So we have to see, and that can give us a lot of comfort, I think, today. Because you and I sin, you and I mess up, you and I fall short of God's standard all the time. But we can still have a personal connection with God, just like David did. So he was a man after God's own heart, and David really tried to have a right heart before the Lord. Now, what's interesting about Psalm 5, and we talked about this early on in our introduction to Psalms, Hebrew poetry, which is what this is, it was written in Hebrew, and it follows the standards of Hebrew poetry, not American or English poetry. American or English poetry is very nice to our Western ears because there's a lot of rhyming and it's just very simple. Hebrew poetry is different. Hebrew poetry has what's called parallelism, where it says one thing and then it states it another way, or it contrasts different things, or goes back and forth between thoughts. And we can see parallelism throughout Psalm 5. And there is this back and forth. You know, even if we strive to have a right heart before God as David did, we still struggle. And you could see it in the parallelism structure of Psalm 5. Verses 1 through 3, we're going to go through all the verses in a minute. Verses 1 through 3 are about righteousness. Verses 4 through 6 are about wickedness. Verse 7 is righteousness. Verses 8 through 10 are about wickedness. Verses 11 and 12 are about righteousness. So we have this ping-pong effect. Righteous, wicked, righteous, wicked, righteous. Isn't that how we are sometimes in our lives? One day we feel so righteous before God, and we've got everything going right, we're doing all the right things, thinking all the right things, have a right heart before God, and the next day we fall, the next day we have a slip up, the next day we slide back. So it's this parallelism even in our lives. There is what the Bible terms a battle, a spiritual battle going on. And this spiritual battle is between doing good and doing evil. We have a choice in front of us, as the Bible clearly lays out, from the Torah on into the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, or the New Testament. We have a choice between doing good and between doing evil, between being righteous and between being wicked. This is the battle that we go through, and it's the free will that we've got to wrestle with. David certainly battled in this way between following after God and following his own flesh, which is really the opposite. There were times when David was in the presence of God, and you can probably recall those times in the Bible where he is just so connected with God. He is so vulnerable with God. He's so honest with God. He is really coming into the presence and the throne room of God in a way. And then there was times where he was in great sin, where he was literally closed off from God. He couldn't hear God. God was not close to him because he had turned his heart away from the Lord. Because everything we say or do, everything we think or are, flows from the condition of our heart. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This is a great scripture. It's also repeated other places, but I just picked this one here. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Whatever's in your heart is going to eventually come out. You may hide it for a while, but it'll peek through, it'll peer through, it'll kind of burst through at times. So we've got to really keep our heart with all vigilance, it says, because from it flow the springs of life. What kind of life are we choosing to have? Are we choosing to have the right heart, the right life, where righteousness is flowing because our heart is full of righteousness? Or one that looks for other gods in the world to worship, which is what goes on many times. So we need to watch ourselves and practice keeping our heart right before the Lord. Now turn with me to Psalm 5. Let's begin with the first six verses here. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So right there in those six verses, we see extreme righteousness, someone just bearing their soul, coming to God in humility, like as David did many times, and then also a depiction of those that are practicing evil. Now, David's voice, David's cry at the beginning of this psalm is coming through, right? What is he doing? He's acknowledging God. He's expecting God to meet with him. He's not just wondering, where are you, God? He's expecting God to meet with him where he is, to hear him and to respond. So we know that the Lord is good. God is good, and this is what David believes, that the more that you come to him, the closer you're going to get to him. He is, you can come, and you can come with the right heart. And David knows that. And more than that, more than God just allowing us to come to him, God desires that we come close to him. And as followers of Messiah Yeshua, this should be really, really clear for us. Turn with me to Matthew 11, Matthew 11, verse 28. As followers of Messiah Yeshua, we know Yeshua's words to us about coming to him and drawing near. And it says this, Matthew 11, 28, come to me, Yeshua talking, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is God saying, please, come to me. I want to lighten your load. I want to teach you my ways. I want you to be close to me. This is what God wants and what God desires, and through Yeshua for us. And what peace, right? What shalom, what comfort that we have in this. But those that don't have a right heart, which is verses 4 through 6 that we read of Psalm 5, it talks extensively and very specifically about them, right? Who are they? They are boastful. So this is what we don't want to be, right? This is the opposite of what we want to be. This is the opposite of having a right heart and a righteousness before God. It says in the text that they're boastful, prideful, they are doers of evil, they speak lies, they're bloodthirsty, and they're deceitful. I would think that none of us wants to be like that, right? Well, we got to really keep our hearts from that, because we can easily descend into the flesh and into the ways of the world and do that. Because all men, all people, even David, even you and I, are capable of this, Turn to Isaiah 29, verse 13. You know, there's that famous scene in Exodus 19. You can turn to Isaiah 29, but in Exodus 19, when they're at the foot of Sinai, the children of Israel, and they're ready to get the Torah. And they're in one mind together, and they say, whatever you want, God, we will do. We're here for you. We want to be close to you. This is like that extreme righteousness. Well, our people have gone from that to things like this in Isaiah 29, 13. And the Lord said, because this people draws near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me, and we've seen this in Israel's history, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. When we don't have a right heart before God, we're closed off to God. The wisdom of this world is wisdom according to the world's standards, but not according to God's standards. And there's other scriptures that back that up. We have to be careful that we don't honor God with our lips and do all the right things, but our heart is wrong before the Lord. And you and I have to admit there's times that we have said all the right things, chased after all the wrong things in the world and not the Lord. Turn to Psalm 24, verse 3. But those whose hearts are right before God, right? The beginning is the heart. Everything flows from the hearts. They are the ones that can come and stand before the Lord. Psalm 24, 3. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. There's that word again. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Everything we're talking about here. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. We surrender our flesh and ourselves, and when we do that, we open up access to God because we've removed the barrier between us and God. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. As we said, everything flows from your heart, the condition of your heart. So we should seek to draw near to God, knowing that our hearts need to be right before the Lord. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Yeshua, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's Yeshua, the great high priest, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. If we're faithful to him with our hearts, he will in turn give us that access. But point number one in our message, we need to come to God with a right heart. It's all about the heart. Come to God with a right heart. Now let's go back to Psalm 5. We'll pick back up with verse 7 of Psalm 5. But I, again, David speaking again, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O God, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me, for there is no truth in their mouth. Their innermost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. So again, it's a back and forth, the righteous and the wicked. Which one do we want to be? David, in his interaction with God, he talks about seeking God and the benefits of being able to go before God with very specific wording that David is using here, to come into his temple. And he talks about the wicked whose thoughts and actions only come to destruction. Listen, our sins, our transgressions, keep us from God. God cannot be with sin. So when we have those things, we're blocking ourselves from God. But David was choosing God. He describes the Lord as what? As having a steadfast love. This is translated, the Hebrew word here is, of course, chesed. We've talked about chesed a lot. Loving kindness, mercy. God has a chesed for you and I, even though we've been wicked at times. A steadfast love. And because of that chesed, David can enter God's house because of God's steadfast love. And we can enter God's house and in awe bow down before him. This is what we were doing throughout the liturgy today. Liturgy from our siddur is, I don't know, like 80% scripture. It's really all the words of God put into prayer form for us to know what to pray and to pray. Now, there's a piece of liturgy called Matovu. And at times we do it. But Matovu is traditionally said when the worshiper walks into the sanctuary of the synagogue. So as you come over the threshold of the sanctuary, you say this. Now, you have the siddurs in front of you. I want to do a little thing here. Pull out your siddurs, everybody, in front of you. And I want you to turn to page 131 because I want you to see how the siddur and the scripture line up and how as we pray through our siddur, we're praying God's word, and we're asking God to allow us to come. And if you look at something like Matovu on page 131, at the bottom, I'm going to read it in English, the translation. Matovu, how lovely, how goodly are your dwellings, O Jacob, your habitations, O Israel. Thanks to your abundant kindness, your chesed, O Lord, I'm able to enter your house. I worship before your holy temple in reverence in this sacred place of worship. Lord, I love to be in your house, the sanctuary dedicated to your glory. Here I worship in your presence, O God, O Lord, my maker. In kindness, Lord, answer my prayer. Mercifully grant me your abiding truth. Doesn't that sound just like Psalm 5? It's so similar. The wording, the sentiments, the heart behind it. This is exactly what David is talking about. And then, in fact, when we do the prayers, again, it's not just random. The central prayer that we do every week that's in the siddur, every siddur, it is the absolute most central prayer. You know, the Shema is our confession of faith. It's the watchword of our faith in Judaism and in Messianic Judaism and in our believing life. But there is a central prayer in Judaism that we pray each week, and it's called the Amidah. It's also called the Shemona Esrei, the silent prayer. And what does the cantor do, or the chazan do, is before they say the Amidah, you'll notice they take three steps back, and they take three steps forward. It's written into the siddur, and we do it every week. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? And then, of course, there's bowing at different times, especially in the Amidah, but in different things. The idea here is that God is a king. He is the King of Kings, of course, and the Lord of Lords. But it's as if you were going to see a king in ancient Israel or in an ancient time. And when you go to see a king, you prostrate and you bow yourself before the king, seeking his kindness, seeking his chesed, seeking his divine mercy, right? We seek an audience with the king, but it's the King of Kings, God. That's the audience that we seek. And so we prostrate ourselves and bow. And what we do is we take three steps back as if to say, we seek an audience with you, Lord. Please accept us to come into your holy place. And then he does. He allows us. So then we take three steps forward to be in his presence. And this is the whole idea between this bowing and step going back and forth. And the whole idea is God in his abundant kindness has allowed us not only to breathe, okay, that's forgiven, but he's allowed us to come and he's allowed us to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's allowed us to pray to him. He's opened up our lives to become close to him, but it's with the right heart that we need to come to him. Psalm 25, verses 4 to 5. As we come to him, he'll hear us. We will learn from him. But again, it starts with that heart coming into him, coming into his presence. Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, my Yeshua. For you I wait all the day long. This sounds like someone who has a right heart before God, who's ready to receive from God, who is bowing down before his king and maker and God And this is the right heart that we need to have, pursuing God, pursuing his ways. Isaiah 55, let's turn there. The book of Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return teshuva to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This is the nature of our God, the chesed of our God. He wants us to turn from our wicked ways, do teshuva, which is literally, you know, turning around in the opposite direction and going towards God when we were previously going away from God. He desires, though, to be with us. He desires for us to do that teshuva, to turn towards him and to start moving towards him. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. This is what God says. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Point number two in our message, pursue God and seek his righteousness. You and I need to be pursuing him actively each day and seeking his righteousness with that right heart before God. Now back to Psalm 5, let's finish out the book, or the psalm. Psalm 5, 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. One of the songs we sang today, I think it was the second song, it talked about God as our refuge, God as our covering. Now, this world will tell us, though, that choosing God and choosing God's ways and pursuing God is no fun at all. It's so much more fun to go out there and to pursue the wonderful things of the Lord, of the world, right? It's so much more fun and inviting and exciting. That's what the world says. This is boring. You know, what we're doing here is stale and boring and, you know, old. You know, you're praying prayers that are hundreds and thousands of years old. Who wants to do that, right? Not exciting at all. But David says here in Psalm 5, 11 and 12, there can be rejoicing. Why can there be rejoicing? Well, the most simple explanation is because we're secure in God. When we go before God with a right heart, when we're secure in God, we're protected from God, spiritually protected. But not only that, there's blessing in that. There is no way God will separate us from him if we maintain that right heart and go before him and just move towards him. There's no way. But you know, everybody out there could and may eventually betray us. Workers, bosses, family members even, friends. This is a world of human beings and human beings' sin. So ultimately, there is only one that we can trust. There is only one who will never leave us or forsake us, and that is God. That is God, and that is God alone. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. I've been quoting from Psalm 91 a lot lately. It's such a beautiful psalm. It says here, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If God is our fortress, nothing is going to get in. Nothing is going to pierce us because we're secure in him. Because he's protecting us with this wall, these walls that cannot be penetrated. Now there's this, but not only that, it's not just he protects us and keeps us safe from all the bad stuff. He wants to have us come into that fortress and be blessed by him. There's a special blessing that God gave the children of Israel. We said it today. We talk about it all the time. It's in the Torah. And if you turn there, it's Numbers chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26. It's called the Aaronic blessing, which is the blessing that God had Aaron, the first high priest, say over the children of Israel. And then all the high priests, the Birkat, the priestly blessing. So it says here in Numbers 6, 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is an active thing with God and you and I. If we have the right heart before God, he wants to take us, scoop us up, as a good parent, and he wants to, yes, protect us, but also to bless us. Some definitions of the word bless: to protect or guard from evil, to bestow divine favor, to bestow good upon. I don't know about you, but I want good bestowed upon me from the Lord. And in Messiah Yeshua, we have been blessed richly by the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, last scripture today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us in Messiah with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Very simple, but very powerful. If we are followers of Yeshua, if we are walking after the Lord, faith in God through the Messiah, Yeshua, the blessing is there. The protection is there. The comfort is there. And that's point number three. God's blessings are upon the righteous. So do we want to be righteous or do we want to be wicked? You know, at times we might want different things there. But a right heart before God is what we need to seek. Because when you have a right heart before God, you can pursue him and you can seek that righteousness. And guess what? The blessings will be bestowed upon us. It's one of these formula things. And I'm not into a lot of formulas because that can get rote and that can get, well, just do these things and this will happen. Well, yes, we do these things, but we do these things with a right heart. Because as we read before, if you do these things with a wrong heart, you're closing yourself off to the Lord. But when you pursue God and do these things with a right heart before him, the blessings will come into your life. Now, I don't necessarily mean the physical blessings. You know, we all want to be rich. I mean, we all want things. We all want nice cars and houses, whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. This is a spiritual thing. The spiritual blessings, the security of God in our heart. The blessing to know he'll never leave us or forsake us. He is with us. He will be with us through every fire, through every trial, and through every mountaintop experience. Isn't it amazing to know you've got the creator of the whole world right there with you? We have to maintain that right heart before him to allow him to come and to be a blessing in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you are God. We thank you that we're not. We thank you, God, that you have displayed this unbelievable chesed for us. Because even though, like David, we sin, we mess up, we fall all the time in little ways and in big ways, Lord, your chesed is always there to call us back. Lord, I just pray for our congregation that all of us individually and, of course, collectively would seek your face, would seek and pursue your righteousness with a right heart, a heart that doesn't get bitter and is judgmental and is hurt, but a heart that is soft and vulnerable before you because we know that you're going to protect us, we trust you, and you're going to take care of us, Lord. May we open our hearts up to you. May we be vulnerable, Lord, with you, because we know that you're going to never leave us or forsake us. You're never going to tell us that you're not good enough. Get out of here. We just need to come before you with a right heart, and you'll do the rest. So, Lord, we do come before you. We seek your face here today. We seek your ways, God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through our Messiah, Yeshua, we pray that you would continue, Lord, to be very much a presence in our lives individually, that you would very much be a presence in the midst of our families, Lord, and that you would be a presence right here in our congregation, in our community. We just lift up your name. We thank you, God, and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.